Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning's scripture is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, the birth of Jesus foretold. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her 6th month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. May the Lord bless the reading and hearing of today's scripture.
One of the great things about Christmas morning, especially for children and even for adults, are the surprises. What else in life do you get to pile 5, 10, 20, 30, maybe 40 presents for some people all together and sit for an hour enjoying opening them? One after another, surprise after surprise. Christmas morning is wonderful in that way. I can still remember the way I felt as a child, I'm sure that you can. The amazement, the astonishment of Christmas morning, all the glee that you felt. Chuck Swindoll writes, "Surprises come in many forms and guises. Some good, some borderline amazing. Some awful, some tragic, some even hilarious. But there's one thing we can usually say, surprises are not boring. Surprises are woven through the very fabric of our lives. They await each one of us at unexpected and unpredictable junctions." Chuck Swindoll. I like the story of a professor who sat at his desk one evening, working on the next day's lecture. His housekeeper laid the day's mail and papers on his desk, and he began to shuffle through them, discarding the ones he could tell, "I'll just throw this one away." Then he noticed a magazine which was not addressed to him, but had been delivered to his office by mistake, and it fell open to an article entitled, "The Needs of the Congo Mission." He casually began to read what was suddenly consumed by these words. "The need is great here. We have no one to work the northern province of Gabon in central Congo, and it is my prayer as I write this article that God will lay his hand on one. One on whom already the Master's eyes have been cast, that he or she shall be called to this place to help us." Professor Albert Schweitzer closed the magazine and wrote in his diary, "My search is over." He gave himself to the Congo as a missionary for life. That little article hidden in a periodical intended for someone else was placed by accident in Schweitzer's mailbox. By chance, he noticed the title. It leaped out to him. But chance? I don't really think it was chance. I think it was one of God's little surprises. This morning, we focus on one of the greatest surprises in history. The surprise that took place when an angel by the name of Gabriel appeared to a young teenage girl by the name of Mary. An angel Gabriel piled one surprise upon another. Mary and Joseph's Christmas tree had been astonishing surprises that any other couple on earth had ever experienced. Gabriel's first surprise to Mary was, "The Lord is with you. Do not be afraid." You can be sure that Mary was gripped with fear. We call it the virgin birth, but what did Mary call it? Oh no, a mess, a dilemma, a thorny problem. What do I do? This is a problem even for us today. There are people in the church, some even who are ministers, and some who are members who do not believe in the virgin birth. And that amazes me. Most of them have no problem believing that God created the earth and all the firmament, the sun, all the galaxies, stars, everything. But they have a problem admitting that Mary's pregnancy was by God. They say, well, you know, that's just impossible. Really? You can create the universe, but you can't have a virgin birth? I'll admit that we don't understand it. Many of us, adults included, do not know what we're talking about, really, when we discuss the virgin birth. We just say the virgin birth and we go on our way. There's a lot of mystery there, but as I understand it, it means that Jesus came from God. He is God's Son. Yes, he was born of a woman, but he was also had the Father who is God. The emphasis is not primarily on Mary, but on the power of an almighty God. As one theologian put it, Jesus is not the product of human evolution, the highest achievement of the human race. He is the product of the intervention of a transcendent God into human history. Think of the fear that must have gripped Mary. Her first reaction may have been, "You don't know what you're talking about. You know, I'm still a virgin. I've not been with Joseph yet. I haven't been with any man." But Gabriel assured her that it was the work of the Holy Spirit, that God was with her. Her next thought must have been, "You know, my father's going to kill me." It was hard enough to get a good girl married off, but the one last that lost her virginity, had lost her purity, that would never do. We might get it away with it in our society today, but it would not have worked then. But the angel reassured her in a very special way. He said, "Your relative Mary, in her old age, is going to have a child as well." It was a miracle, unlike Mary's, but still miraculous. That's wonderful, isn't it? God did not leave Mary alone in this miraculous event. Someone else in her family was going to experience the unexpected work of heaven in the womb. And I can picture the family getting together and saying, "What Mary is telling us must be true. There are things afoot in our family that are too wonderful to ignore." That's what you hope they say. But Mary's heart must have skipped a beat when her thoughts turned to Joseph. Fear has a way of gripping us, telling us that what we're about, what we want to do, is just impossible. Mary must have felt that way, even with all of Gabriel's convincing. Mary surely thought that her fiancé Joseph would not endure such public disgrace. She had been betrothed to him from a very early age. But an angel appeared to him and told him not to fear. Christmas, what a great surprise. "Joseph, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. Mary, do not fear. You have found favor with God. Zechariah and Elizabeth, do not fear. Your prayers have been heard." Do not fear. It is one of the great surprises of Christmas. God's great light coming into the world this season banishes the darkness and should drive all fear out of our hearts. The first surprise of Christmas is, "Fear not, the Lord is with you." Gabriel's second surprise to Mary was, "You will conceive in your womb and bear a son." Can you hear the surprise in that? Mary, you will conceive and have a son. What could be more astonishing than God placing the most awesome work in the hands of a young teenage girl? We don't know her exact age, but she wasn't in her 20s. She was young, peasant girl by the name of Mary. Many parents are afraid to even have a teenager babysit for their children. And here God is entrusting the destiny of the world into this young girl. But once you get over Mary's troubling circumstances, this whole thing is really so casual and actually really very domestic. What is more natural than the birth of a child? The baby in Bethlehem always appears to be less than he really is. He's a child born in poverty and obscurity. He is a simple boy, rambunctious boy, and learning the trade of carpentry alongside of his father. He is unnoticed for years while living in a family of very little means, not much money at all. He is not a member of the religious class, but a self-styled preacher, just like his cousin John the Baptist. He is a prisoner, refusing to answer the accusations of the accusers, the judge. He is treated as a common criminal, like the two that he was crucified beside. He is buried, and except for a few friends and a few followers and his brothers and his mother, Mary, he is forgotten. So it is so natural, like any other human being on earth. And then comes the surprise of Christmas. This child was God with us. And I love the way the Apostle John describes it. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. John is saying that God pitched his tent among us in the flesh in Jesus Christ. The possibility that no one thought possible. The identity that no one had identified. The divinity that no one had divined was made possible at Christmas. This is the second surprise of Christmas, that Jesus was not only human, but Jesus was divine. Gabriel's third surprise to Mary was he would be called the Son of God. Let me tell you what is so surprising about Christmas. It is not simply this. I mean, it is simply this. When God chose to do his greatest work of salvation, he did not do it with a great big splash as he did in a lot of things in the Old Testament. Saving Noah from a worldwide flood. Hiding the baby Moses in the basket on the Nile to be found. Delivering of the Jews from bondage in Egypt. The splitting of the Red Sea or Reed Sea. Giving the Ten Commandments. Bringing his people finally to the promised land. His greatest work was done in the frailty of his son. Now don't miss this. If you miss this, you really miss Christmas. Jesus was a boy like every other boy who had ever lived. He got sick like other children. He was learning a trade as a carpenter alongside his father. I'm sure he laughed and he cried like any other boy, fell down and skinned his knee like every other boy, and he grew in wisdom and stature. He was 100% boy. But here's the real surprise of Christmas. He was also 100% God. Now that's crucial. He was 100% God and 100% boy. He's not 50% God and 50% boy. He is all boy and he is all God. That's the mystery. You don't really have to understand it. We just need to try to accept it. But the angel assures Mary that he will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High. Surprise! It's Christmas. May God bless you. Amen.